Facey, good morning. This is the second service for today, third service all in all. And I love second services because I go to one. I'm not rushed to go to church. I had breakfast and they told me this is the best because you've slept a little bit longer, you've rested a little bit longer. And I know that this is an interactive one because you can laugh, you can clap, you can shout or whatever you want to do. But I know that God has something in store for you today. If you believe that, then you will receive it. You know, my real name is not Kiwi, though it might sound cute, like the fruit. But my real name is Kiwani. It sounds Hawaiian, but I'm not from Hawaii. I wish I was born there. But I believe that God has a plan and a purpose why I was born and raised in the Philippines. And I've been here to your church before. This is my third time in Calgary and second time in your church. And if you had told me years and years ago, Kiwi, you're going to go to Calgary at FAC and you're going to preach and you're going to tell them about the good news about Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say, oh, that's impossible because I was in the Philippines, a poor girl. But you know what? My message today is with God. Nothing, absolutely nothing is impossible. Luke 18:27 said that what is impossible with man is possible with God. I was born and raised in the middle part of the Philippines called Bacolod City to a very poor family. My dad is an alcoholic, and each night my parents would fight because of his alcoholism. He comes home pretty much every night drunk. And there are three brothers ahead of me who died because of lack of medical attention. My third brother, he was supposed to be born cesarean section, but my parents could not afford the medical care necessary. So what they did, they cut my mom open without proper anesthesia. And my mom screamed for pain, but my brother didn't survive. But after that, I was born in another sister. And as a young kid in the Philippines, I remember life was just so hard that I would beg my parents, Ma, Pa, I could not sleep tonight because I was so hungry. But even my parents would give up the food that they're about to eat that night, which is most of the time, rice and soy sauce or rice and salt, it would still be not sufficient. I remember I would look at my neighbor's window and pretend to watch their television. But I would look at their table and see food and wonder, why do they have food tonight and us not? And I remember when apples were imported, maybe from Canada, to the Philippines. And I begged my parents, Papa, please, I want to taste this apple. But even a rotten apple, we could not afford to buy. But you know what? We have a good Father in heaven. This is not a sad story because we have a good God in heaven. Because one day, my dad, who was an alcoholic, picked up a tract. You know what a tract is for the young people who doesn't know it? It's a reading material about Jesus. And behind the tract, it says to go to a crusade. So he went to a crusade, and there he heard about Jesus, that Jesus loves him, gave his life for him. And in that crusade, he received Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. And for the very first time, my dad went home sober. When everybody said, your dad's not going to change, it's impossible for him to change, he's going to die an alcoholic, but the word of God says, nothing is impossible with me. When he went home, my mom was like, what's wrong with you? What happened to you? Why are you sober tonight? What's wrong? Are you sick? And my dad said, no, nothing is wrong with me. I'm sober because I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and you need to come to church with me. So he brought us to church, and you know where he took us? He took us to Bacolod Alliance Church, like your church. And me and my sister, we would sit in Sunday school, and we would hear about songs about Jesus. And then they would sing that Jesus loves the little children, all the children in the world, red, yellow, black, and white, all the children in his sight, that Jesus cares, that Jesus provides. But as a young kid, I could not comprehend that. I'm like, who is this man? Who is Jesus? If he cares and if he provides, then why do we live this way? What's wrong with us? But you know what? We have a good, good Father in heaven. because at the age of 7, I was registered to the Compassion Project. And at the age of 7, somebody from Australia picked up a packet and he started to sponsor me. And the very first thing in his letter, he said, "Kiwi, you are pretty, and Kiwi, Jesus loves you." You know, I've never thought of myself as pretty. It's not in our culture to tell our kids, "Oh, you're so pretty, you're so beautiful." Even my parents didn't tell me that I was pretty. I thought pretty are just for kids with nice clothes, bow in their hair, goes to school. But it could not be me. But later on, I begin to realize, "Lord, is this how you see me? That I'm beautiful and wonderful in your sight. That I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Made in the image of God. That I am a daughter of the Most High God." So I begin to go to the Compassion Project. And I would sit there. And my teacher told me, "Kiwi, I know you're poor. This might be your situation, but this is not your destiny. For in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, 'For I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future.'" And the following verses, it says, "Seek me and you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. Draw nigh to me and I will draw near to you." So I begin to open my Bible. I begin to read the Word of God. I begin to grasp the promises of God in my life. And I told my mom, "Mama, I know that God has a plan for me, but I cannot see it. But I believe that He has a great plan for my life." At the age of 9, my parents decided that they're going to move to the Central Business District of the Philippines, which is Manila. And I thought, "Oh, we're going to have a new life. My parents are going to have a better job." But I thought of my sponsors as well. If we move to Manila, which is a 24-hour boat ride from Bacolod City, how about my sponsors? How are they going to write to me? But you know what? Our God is not bound by distance, time, or space. Because when we moved to Manila, there's a church there near our house was a Compassion Project. And the sponsorship from my sponsors, the letters keeps coming, encouraging me to go on, to believe in God, to have faith. You know, I thought when we're in Manila, my life is going to drastically change. But boy, I was so wrong. We have a joke in Manila, like when we're asked, "What's the weather in Manila?" We would say, "It's hot and hotter and all the typhoons." It rains when it's monsoon season. So one night, it rains like heavily. And in the morning, we woke up, me and my sister, our bed is floating on dark flood waters, infested by rats and all the trash. You know what? Our life didn't drastically change, but the condition of our heart did, knowing that God has something better for us. So when I was in high school, I told my mom, "Mama, I don't want to be poor anymore. I want to get out of this situation. I want to go to college. I want to take up something. I want to be somebody. I want to have a degree." But I know even my parents would work 24/7. It's impossible for me to go to college. But hey, nothing is impossible with God. My mama said, "Let's pray because God will provide, and God will provide. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it." And God did provide. You know, when I was about to graduate college, Compassion told me, "Kiwi, out of 26 partner countries, Compassion is going to launch a program to take kids from high school to college. It was not launched in any other country but your country. And you're going to be going to college for free." This lady who is standing in front of you right now is a physical therapist working in a hospital in Dallas, Texas. God is so good. Nothing is impossible with Him. You know, after college, I need to take a very difficult exam. It's the licensure exam. And you know, in the Philippines, they post on our newspaper who passes this exam. It's so terrible. So I was so scared to take this exam. I know there's a lot of young people here, and older people are scared of the unknown as well, scared of failing, scared of the shame of failing. So I told the Lord, "Lord, you said in your word, we're not the tail, but the head. So I want to top my exam." But in reality, I was just so scared to fail. But every time I opened my Bible, God would tell me, "Kiwi, is there anything too hard for me?" Nothing, absolutely nothing is too hard for the Lord. All of my promises for you are yes and amen. You know what? Out of 1,700 students in the Philippines who took the exam, I landed 10th place. And because of that, they gave me a medal. And as I was receiving this medal, I told the Lord, "Lord, if only my sponsors were here, I'm going to give this medal to them. Because of them, this is a reality. Because of them, that's why I'm standing here receiving this medal." You know what? Every year in our church, we have a prayer and fasting. I don't know if you do that in your church, but usually I don't join because I was hungry when I was a kid. But that year I said, "I'm going to join this prayer and fasting, and I'm going to pray for that I'm going to meet my sponsors." So January came and passed, February came, and March came. A group of Australian sponsors came to the Philippines. Because my sponsor is Australian, they asked me, "Hey Kiwi, why don't you give your testimony?" And I did. And after that, they approached me and they said, "Kiwi, what are you going to do in November?" Well, nothing, maybe here in the Philippines. And they said, "We want you to come to Australia and we want you to meet your sponsors." I think I have a picture for you. I call him Daddy Edwin and Mommy Vina. And they were just so proud. They have never thought the impact of what they did that changed my life. I ran to them and hugged them, and over again, I told them, "Thank you so much. You didn't just change my life, but my family, and one day I believe my community." Because my mom is now a pastor of a small community church in the Philippines. God is so awesome. God is so good. You know, after that visit, I went back home to the Philippines. And I tried to look for a job, and I can't find one. And I said, "Lord, did I make a mistake in choosing this profession? Because I can't find a job in this line of work." And you know what? Our God didn't make a mistake. Our God is God. He's perfect. He doesn't make mistakes. He is incapable of making mistakes. So I said to the Lord, "Lord, this Sunday, I'm going to go to church, and I believe that you have a word for me. The word that the pastor is going to tell us is your specific word for me." And the pastor was talking about Abraham. And there's a word there for Abraham. God said, "Abraham, go out of your country. Go to the land that I will show you, and you will be a blessing." And I said, "That could not be a word for me. I don't have a job. How can I go out of my country?" But there's nothing impossible with God. So I applied online to work as a physical therapist in Georgia. At that time, I don't know where Georgia is. I just applied, I obeyed. And did you know that Dalton, Georgia in America is the carpet capital of the world? And my employer called me up and they interviewed me via phone, and they said, "Kiwi, we want you to pack your things because you're going to go to Georgia." Because I said, "Lord, if this is your will, it's your bill. You're going to pay for everything." My employer said, "Pack your things because we are going to pay for everything. We are even going to give you $1,000 as a sign-on bonus for you to relocate to Georgia." And that was 10 years ago. I was standing there in the airport of Atlanta, Georgia. I could not believe that I was there. I was just praising God, "Lord, truly there is nothing impossible with you." You know, 7 years ago, actually today, is my wedding anniversary. Today! I found myself a Southern boy. And my husband's name is Terry Cook. And he's an executive chef in Dallas, Texas. Imagine, I was hungry when I was a kid. Now I'm married to an executive chef. Only God can surprise you like that. I will never be hungry again. And during the wedding, I invited my parents to come to the United States. You know where I took my parents? I think I have a picture for you. I took my parents to an apple orchard in Georgia. And God is so faithful. And my dad, he's picking up apples from the ground. And I said, "No, Dad. God has blessed us exceedingly abundantly, more than we could ever ask or think, that we're now able to pick up apples from the tree. God withheld that rotten apples years and years ago because he has something better for us, the freshest apples." And we were just celebrating at that moment in that orchard, thanking God of his goodness, his faithfulness. You know, I will never be able to tell my dad happy Father's Day. He passed away a year ago, but he has seen the goodness and experienced the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is good. He is faithful. You know, I want to share to you 5 things to see beyond the impossible things in life. I don't know what you're going through right now. You came here, maybe you have something that you're carrying that is very, very heavy and you think it's impossible. But you need to see beyond it. And there are 5 things I want to share to you that I applied also in my life. Number one is to seek God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Even before we make our own plans for ourselves, we need to seek him. You know, I know that a lot of you loves Jeremiah 29:11, but the first 2 words there, it says, "For I," we need to seek the great I am, because he knows the plans that he has for us. Sometimes we don't know what's the best for us, but our maker knows, so we need to seek him. Sometimes I'm guilty of this. What I would do, I would write down the plans that I have for myself. And I'm going to say, "Lord, these are my plans. Make it happen. Approve it." But we need to seek him first, because he knows what's best for us. Psalms 34:10, it says, "The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord will lack no good thing." Lamentations 3:25, "The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him." So even before you get out of your bed, seek God. Ask God, "Lord, help me. I want to feel you more and more each day." Seek him. Number two is to believe in God. You know, there's a key to unlock what God has in store for us, and it is faith. Hebrews 11:6, it says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." I love the shirt of Dan Bremnes. It says, "Faith, not fear." Sometimes we're afraid because we don't put our trust, we don't put our faith in a big God. We put our trust in ourselves. That's why we're scared, because we falter. We make mistakes. But if we have a faith in the great I am, there's no room for fear. We need to fight that fear, that battles in our mind. And, you know, how do we gain faith? Romans 10:17, it says that faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of God, the good news about Christ. So every time you come to church, every time you heard about Jesus, every time you open your Bible, you're hearing about the good news about Jesus Christ. It builds up your faith. I love this. Matthew 17:20, it says, "If you have a faith as small as a mustard seed, you can tell that mountain in your life to move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Imagine, small as a mustard seed. How about if we have a big faith, what it can move, right? Matthew 21:22 says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it and it will be yours. So have faith. Number three, I think this is the most difficult for us to do, but I believe that number three changes the trajectory of a life of a Christian, and that is to obey God. Obey, obedience. Jesus is not just a Savior, but He is Lord too. And when we talk about lordship, king, queen, lordship, we should talk about obedience. You know, it says in John 10:27, my sheep knows me, they hear my voice, and they follow me. You know, I love this story. Well, I learned how to drive when I came to the United States. I came to the United States as a traveling physical therapist, and I don't know how to drive. But I learned it there. And I learned this word. I'll tell you later. But when I ask people in church, who's the driver of your life? Of course, there's a chorus. It's Jesus. It's God, the driver of my life. But here's the word. We love to be the backseat driver, right? Telling Jesus, Lord, hurry up. Turn to the right. Turn to the left. Take the shortcut. But when we say we obey the Lord, what Dan said, surrender. Completely surrender to His Lordship. Obedience. You know, I love how Psalm 112:1-3 says, how joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy and their deeds will last forever. Joshua 1:8, it says, do not let this book of law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do what is written in it, and that you will become prosperous and successful. My mama would always tell me, Kiwi, you know what? There's a lot of people who complains about, oh, I'm not yet successful in what I do. I didn't have success in this. God didn't bless me with this. But what did Joshua 1:8? Did you go back to the law? Did you meditate on it day and night? And that sticked with me, that I need to go back. I need to spend time with God in His Word, right? Number four is, my favorite, is to ask. James 4:2 said, you have not because you ask not. God expects us to ask in Jesus' name. John 16 said, whatsoever you ask in my name, it will be given to you. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Sometimes we're scared to ask because we have been frustrated before, we have been disappointed before, or we didn't get the answer that we're hoping for. But God wants us to ask in Jesus' name. There are some of you that are parents already here. You want your children to ask you, right? It's not even the thing that you ask, that your children ask for. But when your children ask, it means like, oh yeah, my kid trusts in me. My kid wants to, you know, believe that I can give it to them. So God wants us to ask in Jesus' name. But there is a key how to ask. We need to ask according to His will. That's why seeking Him is very important. 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us. And number five is to give thanks. Give thanks in every circumstances, for this is the will of God. The atmosphere changes when we give thanks. I'm going to give you an example. Tomorrow, Your thankfulness is going to be tested because it's Monday. You're going to go to work. And why is that every Monday you're rushing to work and it's traffic, something's going on, and you're in your car, you're in the freeway, somebody cuts you off, and you're late for your meeting, and you can feel that blood boiling up to your head, and you're about to say something that you're not supposed to say at church. Relatable? But then again, you paused, and I said, you know what? Instead of complaining, instead of having this irritable feeling, I'm going to say, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you that I'm safe in this car. Thank you that I'm going to reach my destination safely. Thank you that I even have a car. Thank you, Lord, that I wake up this morning with a beautiful sunshine and I wake up alive to see your goodness in my life. Do you feel the atmosphere changed when we're thankful? The shift in our perspective when we're thankful, even our circumstances, it says otherwise, we need to be thankful to God. You know, Psalm 100, 4-5, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. You know what? I believe that God has blessed me, blessed my family a lot, not to just keep it to myself. I believe that God has blessed me to be a blessing to other people, to be God's hands and feet to other people. You know what amazes me is that God uses ordinary people to change other people's lives. He chose us to partner with him. Isn't that amazing? You might be thinking, oh, that's not me. God's not going to use me like that. I'm not talented enough. I don't have a lot of resources. I did something in my past. But hey, when you open your Bible, stories upon stories upon stories of God using ordinary people to do the work of God. Great, great works of God. And if you're still skeptical, just remember that little Kiwi from the Philippines that God is using to be his mouthpiece. I've never imagined that I'll be traveling around the United States, Canada, to declare the goodness of the Lord. He is good. I am now a sponsor of 3 kids. From the Philippines, because I'm biased, and one from Haiti, and I think I have a picture for you. And 4 years ago, I went back home and saw my sponsored children, and I told them, hang in there, do not give up. God has a plan for you. If he can do it for me, he can do it for you. And if he can do it to me, he can do it to you and through you. And one day, God will give you an avenue. God will give you a platform to tell your friends, to tell your neighbors, to tell your relatives, to tell a congregation that we have a good, good Father in heaven. He is good. You know what? I've been speaking for compassion for quite some time. I've been declaring God's goodness. And number one, I do it because I want to give thanks to God, and I want to tell people that there's a God like that. There's a God who knows every bit and pieces of you, and he cares. He was not shocked, oh, my daughter did something wrong, or my daughter didn't tithe, or something like that. He was not shocked. He loves us anyway. He loves us. And number two, I do it because the former Compassion CEO, Wes Stafford, told us in our graduation time, he said, never be ashamed of your roots in poverty. You hold your head high. You may have been born in poverty, but poverty was not born in you. No matter how high God lets you climb, never forget to be grateful. Never forget to reach back and bring others along with you. And one by one, as we do that, we will change the entire world. I know that there's a lot of you are already sponsors in this room. And I want to tell you, on behalf of the sponsored children that you are sponsoring, thank you so, so very much. You just don't know the impact that you're doing in their lives. One day they're going to thank God and testify about the goodness of God, and you are a part of it. You are a part of it. And I just want to thank you, even if you're not going to have a chance to see your sponsored children, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for responding to that call, to respond the call of God to partner with Him in changing the world. Thank you so much, and God bless you all. You know, before I leave, can I pray for you guys? I'm excited. I'm really excited. I know that some of you, God has spoken to you personally. And go out there excited. Go out there with the love of God. And please, don't stay silent. Tell them that there's a God that is great who loves people. I'm just so excited for you guys. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you can use anything, but you chose to use us. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, for your love, Father God. And thank you for always reminding us that you have a great plan for us, for our lives, Father. Lord, I pray whatever people here that are experiencing anything, situation that is hard, like it's impossible for them to get over it, Father God, but you said in your word, there's nothing impossible with you. Lord, help us to trust in you. Cure our unbelief, Father God. Lord, we just want to give you everything. And Lord, we want to know you more every day. And we want to spend time with you every day, Father God. Lord, we just want to give you all the glory and honor and praises in your mighty name. This we pray. Amen and amen.